good when we get back.
That's right.
Later.
Need car belts?
Thank you.
Yogananda the Guru Vaishnava in the Unbounded Acharya's Evangelist of Bhagavad. Ramacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. Famous to go home, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vidhi Gadarha. Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakti Vindhi. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gobu Gobuna Cham Kunvara Kungiri Gobudan. Vrinda Vandam Ki. Namadi Maya Pudam Ki. Ganga Maya Ki. Devuna Maya Ki. Tulsi Devi Ki. Bhakti Devi Ki. Sankirtan Yogi Ki. Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki. Samadita Bhakti Vindhi. Gau Premananda. Gauri Sri Samudhavati. Gauri Sri Samudhavati. Gauri Sri Samudhavati. Gauri Sri Samudhavati. So like last night, I'm going to chant a bhajan tonight and read a commentary from Srila Prabhupada. It's a bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. It's called Gaurapahu. And I'll read the translation first. O Lord Gaura, I have never engaged myself in your worship, thus I am robbed of the jewel of divine love by my own negligence. Although being quite in need of wealth, I have still worked very hard to reject the great opportunity of receiving your riches. Then I submerged myself in the ocean of sinful reactions. Avoiding the association of saintly persons, I sported merrily in the company of materialistic rascals. For that reason, I have become strung up in the noose of my own fruitive activities. I perpetually drank the horrible poison of mundane sense gratification, having never absorbed myself in the divine mellows of the kirtan, glorifying Lord Gaura. Oh, why has my heart not experienced any satisfaction, and why has Narottam Das not simply perished? So that is the translation of the bhajan. Srila Prabhupada gives a very wonderful commentary. And just short bhajan, so maybe I'll just chant it first. I have a few song sheets. I don't think I have enough for everyone, but there's maybe enough for every. Maybe it's about 15 here, so you can share. Yes.
Same page number?
Page number is Gaurapahu, 7.
Seven.
Pahu Nabajiya Goinu Premaratana Dana Hilaya Harainu. This is another song by Narottam Das Thakur. He's saying that I have invited my spiritual death by not worshipping Lord Chaitanya. Gorapahu Nabhajiya Goinu. Gorapahu means Lord Chaitanya, and Nabhajiya, without worshipping Goinu, I have invited spiritual death. And Adame Yatani Kari Danu Taina. Why I have invited the spiritual death? Because I am engaged in something which is useless and I have rejected the real purpose of my life. Adama means valueless things, and dhana means valuables. So actually every one of us, neglecting our spiritual emancipation, we are engaged in material sense gratification, and therefore we are losing the opportunity of this human form of body to elevate myself onto the spiritual platform. This human body is especially given to the conditioned soul to take a chance for spiritual emancipation. So anyone who does not care for spiritual emancipation, he's inviting spiritual death. Spiritual death means to forget oneself, that he's spirit. That is spiritual death. So in spiritual death, so in animal life, it is fully forgetfulness. They cannot be reminded in any circumstances that they are not this body. They are different from this body. It is only in this human form of body, human form of life, one can understand that he is not this body, he is spirit soul. So by chanting Hare Krishna, one can easily understand this fact, and by worshipping Lord Chaitanya, following his principles and ways, one can chant Hare Krishna and very easily come to the platform of spiritual understanding. But Narottam Das Thakur says on our behalf that we are neglecting this. Therefore, we are inviting spiritual death. Then he says that Prema Ratana Dana Hilaya Harainu, spiritual life, means to develop real love. Everyone says love. There are so many signboards, so many papers. Love, love. But there is no love, this is illusion, it is all lust. Love for intoxication, love for sex, love for this is going on. So actual love means love, this world can be applicable only with Krishna, with God, because we are created for that purpose. To love means to love Krishna. So that is wanted. That is spiritual love. So Prema Ratana, I could achieve that transcendental position of love, but I am neglecting. Therefore, I am calling my spiritual death. And these things are happening due to my past misdeeds. Due to my past deeds, misdeeds, I have got a type of body. Everyone has got this material body. It is due to past misdeeds. Sometimes we call pious deeds. Actually, so long one gets this material body, there is no pious deeds. Pious deeds means no more material body. That is pious deeds. Otherwise, it is to be taken as a fact that even Brahma, who is the chief living entity within this universe and has got a mass of years as duration of life, all power, still that is also considered as misdeeds, because he has got the material body. So we are going deep down and down, one after another, body by our misdeeds. In the Bhagavad also it is stated that they do not know that by this sense gratificatory process they will have another body. And the body is the cause of material pains. Because I have got this body, therefore I feel headache, I feel stomach ache, I feel this and that. But as soon as we are out of this material body, there is no more material pains. It is simply joyful life. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. Prasanatma means joyful. As soon as one gets spiritual life, so due to my past deeds, I am missing this opportunity. Apanakara mada seva. And why it is happening? Satsanga charikainu asatyara vilas. I've given up the association of devotees. But I am associating with common nonsense men, asatyara. Asat and sat. Sat means spirit and asat means matter. So association of material attachment means implication in his material conditional life. So one has to make association with devotees. Satam prasangat mamaviya sambido. One can understand about God only in association of devotees. Therefore, we are advocating this Krishna consciousness movement, society. Actually, you'll find one who comes to the society by associating a few days, a few weeks, he becomes conscious and he comes forward for initiation and further advancement. So this association is very important. And those who are conducting different centers and temples, they should be very responsible men. Because everything will depend on their sincere activities and character. If they are insincere, then that will not be effective. One may come and associate with us, but if we are insincere, then it will not be effective. But if the devotees are sincere, anyone who will come in contact with a devotee, he'll change. That is the secret. Sat sanga charya satyara vilas. And as soon as we give up the association of these devotees, immediately Maya will catch me. Immediately, Maya is just side by side. As soon as we give up this company, Maya says, yes, come in my company. Without any company, nobody can remain neutral. That is not possible. You must associate with Maya or Krishna. So everyone should be very much serious to keep association with devotees, with Krishna. Krishna means, when we speak of Krishna, Krishna means Krishna with his devotees. Krishna is never alone. Krishna is with Radharani, Radharani is with the gopis, and Krishna is with the cowherd boys. We are not impersonalists. We do not see Krishna alone. Similarly, Krishna means with Krishna's devotees. So Krishna consciousness means to keep association with the devotees of Krishna. Vishaya Vishama Vishava Satata Kayanu. And he says that I have drunk always the most dangerous poison of sense gratification. Vishaya Vishama Vishava. Vishaya means sense gratification. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These four principles are called Vishaya. And Vishama means dangerously. And Visha means poison. If one is simply engaged with these four principles of life, just like animals, then it is to be supposed that he is simply drinking poison. That's all. Vishaya Vishama Satata Kayanu. I know this is poison, but I am so much intoxicated that I'm drinking this poison at every moment. Gora kitana rase mahagana napayinu. Mahagana napayinu. And I could not merge myself into the Sankirtan movement started by Lord Chaitanya. Oh, that is actually the fact. Those who are too much attached to materialistic way of life or always drinking the poison of sense gratification, they are not attracted by the Sankirtan movement. So at last, Narottam Das Thakur is lamenting. He's not lamenting, he's representing ourselves. If one comes to that point of lamentation, that is also very nice. He immediately becomes purified. Lamentation means purification. So he says, Kenova achai prana kichu bhali. Why I am living? I do not make association with the devotees. I do not take part in the Sankirtan movement. I do not understand what is Krishna. I do not understand what is Lord Chaitanya. Then what for I am living? This is lamentation. What is my happiness? What is the standard of my happiness? Why I am living? Narottam Das, Keno Naghila. Why I did not die long, long ago? I should have died. What is the meaning of my living? So it is not Narottam Das Thakur's lamentation. Every one of us should think like that. That if we cannot make association with devotees, if we do not understand what is Krishna consciousness movement, if we do not come in touch with Lord Chaitanya and his associates, it would be better for me to die. And there was no other remedy. This is the substance of the song. So, I read the whole thing. I didn't want to stop.
Pretty heavy. As it is.
So, of course, Prabhupada is... he's representing what the mood that Narottam Das Thakur is describing in this song and emphasizing the great importance of achieving this rare, valuable gift of one gift, which Prabhupada talks about, is the gift of the human form of life. It is a gift. Because in the human form of life, one is supposed to use the human form of life for achieving self-realization, or as Prabhupada describes, emancipation, freedom from the entanglement of the materialistic way of life. It is a gift. And it's a rare gift. It's not so easily obtainable. Prabhupada many times speaks about the transmigration of the soul, living entity, having to accept material bodies after body. And then only after millions of births does he get the opportunity to come to the rare, valuable human form of life. We see the word valuable here emphasized many times. Prema Ratanadana is described as valuable. It is the jewel of prema, of love for Krishna. Prabhupada says here, he said, dana means valuables. Because I engaged in something which is useless, I rejected the real purpose of my life. Adhamma means valueless things, and dana means valuables. So, valuable, of course, is based upon one's standard. What one considers valuable for one person may be something which is invaluable, not valuable for someone else. There's a saying, one man's food is another man's poison. A common expression. What may be valuable for one person, for another person, he may consider to be valueless. But the standard which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the standard which is given by the previous acharyas, is that that which is valuable is that which enables us to achieve our eternal relationship with the Supreme. That which enables us to understand who is Krishna and what is my relationship with Him. Anything that helps us in understanding this objective in life, it is considered to be valuable. As Bhagavatam states, what is the value? The value of a moment's association of a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared to anything. That cannot be compared to elevation to heavenly planets. Cannot be compared to liberation from matter or to worldly prosperity, which is ultimately meant for those meant for death. Right? That is value. The value of a moment's association of devotees is considered to be far more valuable, even one moment, than even elevation to heaven. Why elevation to heavenly planets? Krishna explains is temporary. From the highest planet in this material universe to the lowest planet, all the places of misery where repeated birth and death takes place. But one who attains the Maya boat never has to take his birth again. So even if one achieves elevation to the heavenly planets, what is the value? As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, one may achieve the elevation to heavenly planets, but when the results of his past pious activities are exhausted, then he has to fall back down again. It's like any person can understand that you may accumulate so much money in your bank account, and although you may have worked very hard to accumulate so much money, but if you stop working and then you start spending, then in due course of time, eventually your account will be exhausted. Same thing, elevation to heavenly planets, as people have amassed the results of their past pious activities. They go to heavenly planets for heavenly enjoyment, but they're simply exhausting the results of their pious activities, and in due course of time they have to come back down again. So therefore Bhagavatam states that what is real value, even liberation from matter, we described last night or this morning, Ariya Kuchchena Param Padam Tata Padanti Tanadrida Yuzmadanviya. As Lord Brahma describes, that persons who perform severe austerities and penances, they may achieve this position of liberation, but their intelligence is impure because they fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they fail to take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So even they get liberation, they go to liberation from Madhya, but as Lord Brahma describes as Vukmukta Maninas, the Lord simply lets them think themselves to be liberated. Liberation in the mind. They think they're liberated, but it's not real liberation. Because real liberation means to, as described in the Bhagavatam, to give up the gross and subtle body, but real liberation is also to achieve one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Because anyone who's achieved his eternal relationship with Krishna, then Never. He never comes back to this world again. He's always under the protection. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritimashita. He's under the protection of the Lord's superior energy, the internal energy. And the Lord will never let His devotee fall. He'll never let His devotee fall from His association. Prabhupada gives the example that the Lord considers His devotee like a valuable jewel. When someone is holding a valuable jewel, they hold on to it very tightly because it's very valuable. So similarly, the Lord, He always holds on to His devotee because He considers His devotee so valuable. Here we see the word valuable again. The devotee is valuable to the Lord. The Lord considers His devotee so valuable, that the Lord protects His devotee. Because He considers this soul, this living entity, this soul, why is it the Lord considered valuable? What's His standard of value? Is it because the devotee is giving something to Krishna? That doesn't make the devotee valuable. Krishna doesn't need anything the devotee gives. Although the devotee has given everything, he gives his life, he gives his words, he gives his body, he gives his wealth. He gives everything to Krishna, but what are these for Krishna? And these are nothing for Krishna. Krishna doesn't need wealth. He doesn't need any of these things in the material world. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if one offers me a leaf, a flower, fruit and water with love and devotion, I'll accept it. But it's the love. It's the love that Krishna sees. That's what's valuable to Krishna. It's valuable is the heart of His devotee. He considers the heart of His devotee such a valuable place that Krishna enters into the heart of the devotee. And He gives His heart to the devotee. Because He considers His devotee to be so valuable. Why? Because the devotee never doesn't want anything from Krishna. He doesn't come to Krishna for something in return. This is not love. Love doesn't mean that you come to somebody and serve them expecting to get something in return from them. This is not love. This is, Prabhupada says, it's mercantile mentality. It's business. I'll do this for you, Krishna. And you give me something in return. And if you don't give me something in return, I won't worship you anymore. Oh, He won't worship me anymore. Krishna doesn't feel threatened. It's like, I won't worship you anymore, Krishna. I won't give you any more sweets. But that's... Krishna doesn't feel threatened by such a proposal that I won't do this for you. He doesn't need anything from us. So someone may say, well, Krishna doesn't need anything from us, and why does Krishna need us? Everybody wants to feel needed. But Krishna explains very clearly. He says that even though He's self-satisfied, He's never ungrateful. He's always grateful for even a little service rendered. And what is the symptom of His gratitude? The symptom of His gratitude is that Krishna is very eager to accept when something is offered with love. It's not so easy to get Krishna to accept something. It's the love that makes Krishna want to accept it. He's very attracted by the love. And therefore, even the most insignificant offering externally may appear to be very insignificant in the eyes of somebody who doesn't know what's valuable. Because he has a different standard. He may think, oh, what is this person offering? It's just like... Kolavecha Shridhai. What was he offering? He didn't have much. All he sold was banana leaf cups and plates. That's all he sold. And in Bengal, it's not a very lucrative business. There's a lot of banana leaves everywhere. Oops. Sorry. But still, whatever he did, whatever money he accumulated, whatever wealth he accumulated, he'd always offer 50% of his income for the worship of Ganga Devi.
Like half a penny.
Yes. We were saying this morning how Ganga Devi is Tadiya, right? We gave the house Tadiya, the mentality of Tadiya Mamatva. Tadiya means I am Krishna's. Right? So Ganga Devi, she belongs to Krishna. And we said the other types of Tadiya was Ganga, then also Bhagavatam, Tulsi Devi, and Krishna's devotees. They belong to Krishna. And because they belong to Krishna, they're very dear to Krishna. And Krishna is dear to them. So, Kolavecha Shridha would give something which may appear to be very insignificant. But for Krishna, it was very significant. If for Lord Chaitanya was very significant. Right? He considers that which is significant, anything which is offered, with love, without expecting anything in return. He sees the heart. So that's the Lord's standard of something which is valuable. The Lord has His standard. The materialists have their standard. Something is valuable if it's pleasing to my senses. And therefore, Prabhupada speaks so openly here, decrying the persons who simply live for sense gratification. Kamasya nindriya pritiya level jivaita yavata jivasya tattva jigasya nato yascheha karmabhi. Life desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire to live because the human form of life enables him to inquire into the absolute truth. This should be the goal of all of his work. Right? So the human form of life is described as the rare, valuable gift given by the Lord for self-realization. But people are squandering it. Right? Squandering it, uselessly squandering it simply for some petty sense enjoyment. And they don't realize the great valuable gift that they've been given. You know, like that example that is oftentimes given. If somebody gives you something very valuable, and if it's very valuable, you want to use it to its full potential. Somebody gives you a new computer, Pentium 4, beautiful screen, speakers, everything. Right? Immediately when you get it and you see all the different very valuable parts of it, you're thinking, wow, you immediately open up the manual. How do you use it to its full potential? That's natural. You want to know how to use everything. You don't want nothing to be not used. I've got something really valuable. I know this does something wonderful. And they gave it to me. I didn't even spend any money for it. So we want to use it to its full potential. So in the same way, the human form of life is such a valuable gift, but people are not using for full potential. They're wasting it like animals. Nayam deho deham bajam niloke kashtan kaman ahate vidbu jamye tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam sudyad yasmat brahma sokyam dvananta. Lord Rishabhdev instructing his sons, my dear sons, of all living entities who have accepted material bodies, one who has been awarded the human form of life should not waste it simply for the pursuit of sense gratification, just like the hogs and dogs that eat stool. One should accept austerities and penances to achieve the divine position of devotional service, because by such activities one's heart is purified and one achieves the platform of real happiness, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So Lord Rishabhdev is instructing his son again, what is valuable? Again, Bhagavatam's value system so different than the other ordinary person's value system. Any ordinary person's value system, what's valuable is what puts money in the bank account. What's valuable is what satisfies my senses, what makes me happy. But what is the value of all of that when ultimately everything is taken away and the life, the human form of life is lost? But people don't realize that. They don't realize how valuable this human form of life is. They think, let me use it to its full potential means let me gratify my senses to full potential. They don't understand. And therefore they waste. They're called kripana, miserly men. A miserly person has wealth, but he simply, what does he do? He simply spends all his time counting, putting it away, counting, put it away. Doesn't use it for anything good purpose. He just counts it and thinks that his happiness, his glory, his everything is expanding the more it is stashed away. And he comes back and checks to make sure nothing's missing. No mice have come in and nobody's come and stolen anything. Right? That increases his joy, his pleasure. But he's called kripana, miserly person. Miser because he doesn't use it for anything of real value. But a brahmana, he is one who understands how to utilize properly. He knows the great value of the human form of life. And therefore, Narottam Das Thakur in this song, is we can understand at least a little bit better his lamentation, his mood. Prabhupada says that Narottam Das Thakur is speaking for us. He's not, you know, he's speaking for us. He's helping us to understand, because we really have to come to understand that as this human form of life, such a valuable gift, it's passing by very quickly. Time Are you a Hariti Vaipungsam? Ujjan Yastra, the Chiriyada Sao, is described in the Bhagavatam that both by rising and setting, the sun is decreasing the duration of life for everyone, except for one who utilizes the time for discussing the topics of the All Good Personality of Godhead. This is how the movement of the sun is acting. It is taking, diminishing, day by day, decreasing our lives. And what have we accumulated? What have we gained in the bank account of devotional service? What have we actually... benefit have we derived it? Are we wasting time? Or are we actually properly utilizing the time for cultivation of our higher consciousness and our understanding of ourselves? This is the Narottam Das Thakur. This is the lamentation he's described, that life is passing and I'm wasting. He says right here that, O Lord, I've never engaged myself in your worship, thus I am robbed of the jewel of divine love by my own negligence. Although I was quite in need of wealth, I worked very hard to reject the great opportunity of receiving your riches. Right? Lord Chaitanya, his riches are a little bit different. The wealth, the valuables that Lord Chaitanya came to give was the value of the holy name of the Lord, the most valuable thing. Like the story talked about in the Bhagavatam of the beggar who wanted to get the touchstone from Sanatana Goswami. Right? He thought a touchstone is so valuable it can turn iron to gold. So he heard that this sannyasi, he was keeping a touchstone in his possession. So he went to him and he asked him, I heard you have a touchstone. And Sanatana Goswami said, yes, I do. It's over there in the rubbish. So he says, I've come. I want to get that. Can I have that touchstone? And Sanatana Goswami says, sure, go take it. It's over there. So he took the touchstone and he began to think, if he's keeping this in the rubbish, he must have something much more valuable than this touchstone. So he was thinking, I want that which is more valuable. Why should I simply settle for this? He's got something better. Nobody gives something up unless he gets something better. Right? Prabhupada talks about that here. I think in the teachings of Queen Kunti, the verse you quoted this morning, Namo Kinchana Vitaya.
Yeah, right? That's one. Yeah.
Yes. What was it?
And then,
the property of the impoverished. Namo Kinchana Vitaya Nivritaguna Vitaya. Right? A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be in the real sense of the term a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. A student sacrifices his childish proclivities to gain better education. A servant gives up his job for a better job. Similarly, a devotee renounces the material world not for nothing, but for something tangible and spiritual value. So, the beggar came before Sanatana Goswami, he took the touchstone and he realized that, wait a minute, Sanatana Goswami keeps this in the rubbish, therefore he's rejected it because he's got something more valuable. And he came back to Sanatana Goswami. He says, I think you have something more valuable. And Sanatana Goswami says, yes, I do. He says, I want that. I want. So Sanatana Goswami says, if you want, then you take this touchstone, you go down the river and throw it in the river.
Oh, that's a big thing.
And then come back. So he went down to the river, threw it in the river because he wanted something more valuable. Sanatana Goswami gave him the holy name of the Lord, initiated the holy name, more valuable. Sometimes when people hear this pastime, they think, well, why Lord Chaitanya taught Yukta Vairagya. Why did Sanatana Goswami not take the touchstone and build big beautiful temple? Why did he have the beggar throw it in the... Because he knew how the Sanatana Goswami is expert, Chaya's expert. He knows how to understand the value of everything. And he understood that far greater value is to teach. To teach what is the most valuable thing. And by this example, he taught that he considered the value of this touchstone that's best engaged by throwing it in the river. By his renunciation of it, to teach others that there's something of greater value than wealth. That is Acharyas, they're very expert. They know how to employ everything for Krishna service and how to use it to teach others that what is real value in this human form of life. And if we don't understand, therefore Prabhupada explains in his commentary, he says, unfortunately, people cannot really understand what is, like last night we were talking about, how people look externally at devotional service. They cannot understand. How is it that a person sacrifices, gives so much, and apparently has nothing externally to show for it? Right? Just like they made fun of Shuklambar Brahmachari, who lived by begging. You know, people with the worshippers of Durga Devi, they would ridicule him. Just look at him. He's a beggar. He's going from door to door simply begging a few grains of broken rice. And they would ridicule him. He has nothing to show. But yes, Shukumbhara had the greatest, the most valuable thing. And the Lord understood. And therefore the Lord was so very eager to take from the hands of Shukumbhara that broken rice that he himself was collecting. Take it from his hands, and he said, I want it because I want to take from your hands because you love. You have love. And therefore, when the Lord takes something from the hands of his devotee, it's not that the Lord is not grateful. He gives something in return. He always will give something in return when he accepts an offering out of love from his devotee. He gives himself. And when the Lord gives himself, the devotee has achieved the highest gain, the most valuable gift. Nothing more valuable, because when you have Krishna, you have everything. Krishna is the source of everything. And he knows how to satisfy all the desires better than we can attempt to satisfy them ourselves. We try to satisfy, and yet we get extract a little pleasure, but chapalasukha, flickering pleasure. But the Lord can satisfy his devotee in such a way that the devotee's pleasure is always increasing more and more, because the devotee can be satisfied in any condition of life. That is the devotee. Any condition, whether he's in Narayanak Paraksave Nakutaschanya Bhivati Svaga Pavarga Narakeshvabi Tuyata Dashna. The devotees, they're satisfied in any condition of life, whether they're in heaven or whether in hell, for liberated, for them it's all the same. Why? Because what's valuable to them? Devotional service to Krishna. That's their value. That's their wealth. If I can serve Krishna, it's the greatest wealth. Therefore, because they have the greatest value, they're satisfied. They can be happy living in any condition. They can live in opulence. They can live in poverty. However Krishna wants them to live, they can accept it. Because they're not attached to this world. They're only attached to serving Krishna. And therefore, whatever condition of life, even if they're living in the greatest opulence, for them, their happiness is simply to use it for the service of the Lord. And that happiness is far superior than the pleasure, temporary pleasures of this world, which always have a beginning and an end. But being obsessed, being so obsessed into thinking, conditioned into thinking that this will make me happy, still the foolish living entity continues birth after birth after birth engaged in fruitive activities, thinking that by dint of this fruitive activity, this time I'll be happy. What Prabhupada used to say, old wine in a new bottle. Right? It's the same thing again and again and again. Or as Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirna Krishne Paratak Svatova Bipadyeta Griha Vatana Adanta Gobiya Vishitam Tamisham Punak Punas Chavata Chavananam Chewing the chute. Because of their uncontrolled senses, right, people make progress towards hellish conditions of life and repeatedly chewed that which has already been chewed. The inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused either by their own efforts, by the efforts of others, or by a combination of both. They're making progress towards hellish conditions of life. That is their progress. They're gliding down. Right? Because they don't understand. They're chewing that which has already been chewed. They've already tried it before, but this time it'll work. But foolishness. Therefore, his devotee is not idle. He works, but he understands that it is not the goal of this life to accumulate the fruits of his hard labor for enjoyment. He's very active, but he learns how to depend upon the Lord in all of his activities. He learns how to remember the Lord in all of his activities. And therefore, he can be satisfied. If the result comes or the result does not come, it's up to Krishna. Let me simply try to please him. And this is how a devotee can be peaceful and happy. Krishna bhakta nishkama ateye vashanta. Bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta. Krishna bhakta is nishkama. He's desireless. And therefore he can be peaceful. Whereas those who are desiring opulences, those who are desiring liberation, those who are desiring mystic yogic perfections, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami. Because they still have unfulfilled desires. They can never be peaceful. Sakali ashanta. Never be peaceful. Where devotee is peaceful. Right? Because his desires are all fulfilled. His desirelessness is that Krishna satisfies every desire within the core of his heart and makes him fully self-fulfilled. He has everything. Everybody's working so hard in this world because they're lacking something. They need something to complement their lives. But Krishna's giving them the greatest gift to complement their lives, right? Everybody's feeling, I need this, I need that. Why? Because they're not self-sufficient. And therefore, because they're not self-sufficient, they can't be self-satisfied. So they're thinking, I need something to compensate for what I'm lacking. But everyone's looking for Krishna. And then for a devotee, he purchases Krishna with his love, with his desire to please him. Then Krishna gives himself. And when Krishna gives himself, he satisfies all the desires within the heart of his devotee. So that he's happy in any condition of life because he has Krishna. Just like when Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the symptom of a man who is situated in divine consciousness? How does he eat? How does he act? How does he walk? Krishna says, when a man gives up all desires for sense satisfaction, which arises from mental concoction, and we find satisfaction in self alone, then he is considered to be in pure transcendental consciousness. Self-satisfied. Self means he's self-satisfied because he has Krishna, and Krishna is giving him everything. He can be genuinely peaceful. That is devotee. So to get devotional service to Krishna is the greatest gift. Because it can bring us everything, full satisfaction of the self, because it's the only means by which one can obtain Krishna. There's no other means that one can actually obtain Krishna. Bhaktimana vajanati yavanyas chasmi tatvata. Only by devotional service, Krishna says, can you enter it. And can you understand me and come to me? There's no other way. So this is why devotional service and why chanting Hare Krishna, why these spiritual activities are valuable to a devotee. And therefore, Prabhupada is emphasizing this in Srila Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan, that we should not commit spiritual death. Spiritual death means to lose this great opportunity which has been given to us to not be engaged in Krishna's service. And spiritual life, what spiritual life means to develop real love. Right? Spiritual death and spiritual life. Spiritual life means to develop real love. Everyone says love, so many signboards, papers, love, love. But what is real love? Real love is always, Prabhupada says, it can be applicable only in relationship with Krishna. That is love. Because Krishna, when we love Krishna, Krishna can reciprocate in such a way to satisfy all of our desires. No one else can do that. Krishna can do it. And therefore, this loving relationship is the eternal relationship the living entity has with the Lord. And that devotee becomes established on a spiritual platform, then he never takes his birth again, but he goes back home, back to God, and renders service to Krishna in a loving devotional service. And the Lord fully... As Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, that the devotee is always in my heart and I am always in the heart of my devotee. The devotee doesn't know anyone but me and I don't know anyone but him. That is Krishna. He's always thinking about his devotee. He's always satisfied by the activities of his devotees. And he's always very eager to please his devotees. Because he considers his devotee so valuable. Because his devotee has the only desire within his heart is simply to satisfy the Lord. That is very valuable to Krishna. And therefore, Krishna says that you are so wealthy, you are so valuable to me that you have purchased me by your love. And that because you have purchased me by your love, sell me wherever you like. Yeah. Right? Wherever you like, you can sell me. That is the Lord's position he takes with his devotees. You have me. Now do with me as you like. Yeah? So, this is Narottam Das's Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan. And giving us a little bit insight of what is the real value system of a devotee and the value system of Srimad Bhagavatam. In comparison to the values, so-called values of this material world. Some question?
You mentioned about lamenting. So we also learned that we're not supposed to anchor or lament.
Mm-hmm.
So here it's saying that we should lament.
Mm-hmm. But there's material lamentation, there's spiritual lamentation.
Yeah, okay. Then the next part of that question is, sometimes you see devotees lamenting for some seems like spiritual lamentation, but their lamentation just consumes them and they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you draw the line on your lamenting?
Well, don't do anything is again has to be understood in terms of internal also, because doing, to be really effective in doing something for the Lord also requires that we have to be rightly motivated, rightly situated in devotional service. So it may appear that they're not doing anything, but they're actually doing a lot of work, and sometimes it's hard work to clean the heart. It's hard work to give up material ambitions. It's hard work. You know, it's not an easy thing to fix the mind on Krishna. So we also have to understand, not always the case, but we also have to understand that somebody who's very sincerely within his heart lamenting for something that they have done, and they want to, and Prabhupada explains that purification comes in the fire of repentance. That if we've done something, then we should, two types of suffering, one is forced suffering, the other is voluntary. So if we genuinely repent in our lamentation, not just lamenting, oh, you know, I'm too fallen, I can't do this, I can't do that, that's self-indulgence. It's everything is I, me, me, me. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about genuine repentance. Lamenting, I've wasted my life. I've wasted so much time. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in his about pancha samskara, the five different samskaras that a person has to accept for, you know, for being engaged in devotional service. And he says that when one actually accepts initiation, he has to have previously lamented or repented for the sinful life he engaged in before. He said that's what makes the initiation complete. Because if he's sufficiently suffered and repented and lamented for the sins he's committed before, then he's voluntarily accepted that suffering, and it makes him qualified to actually make the initiation so complete so he won't do it again. Because just like Lord Chaitanya, when he delivered Jagai and Madhai, he said to them, "All right, now I will accept all your sinful reactions, but don't ever engage in sinful activities again." So a devotee who learns from voluntarily suffering, he's learned something very valuable. He won't do it again. So, therefore, there is spiritual lamentation and spiritual repentance, which has value in spiritual life. But one has to understand the difference between spiritual lamentation and repentance, and, as we said, self-indulgence, which is to simply not do anything, but just to think of themselves as being so fallen and incapable of doing anything for the service of the Lord. And then the result is, because they always think of themselves all the time, that eventually their self-indulgence will simply take them into other forms of sense gratification. But still there is a value in genuine repentance and lamentation.
Just on the self-indulgence, we hear nowadays how self-esteem, you have to really have self, you know, the self-esteem, and at the same time we learn that you have to feel yourself lower than the straw in the street.
Yes.
So if you don't have any self-esteem, that's not good, and but yet you have to feel lower than the straw in the street.
It's feeling lower than the straw in the street is actually what establishes our real sense of self-worth.
Yeah.
because Krishna is the one who's actually recognized, makes us. Krishna actually sees the value of somebody who thinks himself lower than the star on the street. When Krishna appreciates the value, it's far better than everybody else. That's what Krishna sees. Krishna sees that mentality. He thinks himself lower than the star on the street. So that's how to get Krishna's attention. And if we become valuable in Krishna's eyes, then what higher sense of self-worth can we possibly capture in this human form of life than to be recognized by Krishna? Okay. So therefore we have to understand, what does Krishna see? So then immediately a devotee feels reciprocation from Krishna, and then he understands the great value of feeling lower than the straw on the street. There's such a value in it. Otherwise, as Prahlad Maharaj so nicely describes in the Bhagavatam, just one more point, then he quotes this verse. He said, "Nalam dvijatam devatam visharam vasaratmaja." He's just talking to his friends, his classmates. Very wonderful verse. He says, "My dear friends, oh sons of demons," he was speaking to all of them, "you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even if you become expert Brahmins, you become advanced in etiquette or vast learning, nor by austerities, nor by chastity, nor by accepting of vows, great sacrifices can you satisfy the Supreme Lord. The Lord is pleased only when one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything else is simply a show." So essentially what Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends, unless you have unflinching devotional service, Krishna's not looking. It's a show. You're doing it for somebody else. They may look. But actually, if you want Krishna to look, even if you're an expert Brahmin, even if you're advanced in etiquette and vast learning, right? Is that verse? Anyways, that even expert Brahmin, advanced austerities, that all that you do, Krishna says, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as austerities that you perform, do it for me. So there are many persons who are very austere, but they're not doing it for Krishna. So it's simply a show, because Krishna will only look at his devotees when they're doing it to please him. But if they're doing it for themselves, if they're doing it from recognition, from gain, for some profit, Krishna doesn't look. He's not interested. This doesn't attract him at all. So therefore Prahlad Maharaj says, without sincere devotional service, everything you do is a show for somebody else to see, because Krishna won't look. So anyways,
very good point, actually, this whole thing, because this whole self-esteem has become sort of a fixation, you know, in the modern world. As you nicely pointed out, one has to know what self-esteem, what is the self? Who is the self? Who am I really? You know, if I'm a spirit soul, I'm a servant of Krishna, then my interest, you know, is the real self-esteem. It's not that whole material ego trip. The real self-esteem is that my life is important. I belong to Krishna. I should give everything I can to Krishna.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's real self-esteem.
That's real self-esteem. Otherwise, people do everything. They have self-esteem. They flaunt their...
So capable. I can do anything.
Yeah, but actually what they're doing is they're leaving self completely open for exploitation, because then they're thinking, I want everybody to look at me in terms of my wealth. I want everybody to look at me in terms of my beauty, in terms of my position. And then everybody, they're thinking, they're only interested in the wealth, the beauty, and the position, and nobody cares about them. Because they're projecting themselves. This is my value. My value is this. And they're projecting themselves, and everybody's thinking, yeah. You know. And they just want to exploit their beauty, they want to exploit their wealth. Like a wealthy man never knows who his friends are, because he's thinking, does he care about me, or is he just my friend because he wants my money?
Yeah.
But wait to see. He never has any friends.
And another thing, another buzzword is the self-esteem is that dream is, you can fulfill any of your dreams. You know, aim very high. You can do anything you dream of. That's total illusion. You know? You can't even control your senses for a minute. What you think you're going to become the king of the world? That's like, it's total illusion. But it's a huge agenda, like it's a big fixation. It's actually a huge symptom, how much the obsession for sense gratification, because that's mental gratification, that whole self-esteem thing. It's like ego gratification, you know. So, because they're not satisfied with gratifying their senses, now they've got to boost their ego to become like the king of the universe. You know, it's not possible. You know? Another big illusion. You know? Yeah. So my question would have been, yeah, so, you know, to be really become self-satisfied or truly happy, one has to give everything to Krishna. So that's that. To give it your all in all to Krishna, that requires a big measure of faith. You really have to trust Krishna. I give everything to Krishna, I'll get everything in return. But you don't want anything in return, that's the point.
We can want something in return. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in Harinam Chintamani that it's not selfish to want to have love of God.
Spiritually selfish,
it's not selfish to want to have love of God. He says it's not also. He also says it's not selfish to want to taste the holy name, pure holy name of the Lord. Mm. It's not selfish. It's in our best interest, because to taste the pure holy name of the Lord means that we're the most fit instrument for serving the Lord and pleasing the Lord, because that's what the Lord relishes. The Lord relishes a devotee who relishes His holy name. That's, the Lord is so pleased by that. Like the conversation with Lord Chaitanya and Prakashananda Saraswati, when he was telling about Ishwarpuri, his spiritual master, became so pleased because he was, when he went back to his spiritual master, he said, "What kind of mantra have you given me?" Right? I found when I'm chanting this mantra that I've lost all contact with the external world. I forget about everything, and I find myself dancing, and my tears are coming from my body. And Ishwarpuri is very pleased, so pleased, but he was tasting. You're so pleased that for the spiritual master, that is so satisfying. So for Krishna, it's so satisfying when he sees his devotee relishing the pure holy name. It's so satisfying to the Lord, because Krishna's there in the holy name, the devotee's relishing, and he's there dancing on the tongue of his devotees. So it's not a material desire.
In fact, we won't have that unless we go mad for it. Because we wanted nothing else but that. Prabhupada told us you have to go mad for Krishna.
That's why
you give only that all the time.
Ramananda Roy, in his conversation with Lord Chaitanya, says pure devotional service cannot be had by millions of births of pious activities. Pure devotional service can be had only by paying one price to achieve it, intense eagerness to obtain it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, wherever one sees it, he must immediately purchase it without delay.
Be so blessed.
Just to get the comment. One time, Maitreya Rishi was feeling.
Huh?
I think he had something. Okay.
Others have questions.
Maitreya Rishi was feeling selfish, I guess, and he told Srila Prabhupada that I'm so selfish. And Srila Prabhupada said, "It's okay to be selfish if, as long as you know who your real self is."
Who had a question? You had a question?
You answered everything what I wanted to ask. But I will ask a general question.
Okay.
It's just a general question. Have you seen any scriptures in the world which is complete like the Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the science of life for me. He's laughing.
Yes, it's complete.
And after listening to you.
It's
wonderful. And one sloka, can you tell me that this is very favorite for you? I'll tell you my one.
Uh-huh.
After listening to you. Yam labdha chaparam lavam unnati nadigam tato yasmin sthito na dukkhena gurunapi vicharya. 6:22. I'm sure you understand that one. I probably stated in Bengali.
Go ahead.
Not the same thing.
You translate.
Jam labdha chaparam lavam. What I have received, there's nothing more to receive in my life. Jam labdha chaparam lavam. Mannate nadigam tato. There's nothing else more than that. If I stay with that one, no pleasure and pain can disturb.
Mm-hmm.
Number 620, what I have received.
Mm-hmm.
It's the assurance from me. Another one is that. What bhakt, what jami one knows to maam abhishthi sottam te pratiyan kyesu.
That is the crown jewel.
Jewel. It is just a jewel. I like this one better. I'll tell you why. Number 66. Next one.
Savadhamam prithajya mamikam saranam
vajitam.
Ahamkam saranam
vajitam. There is a, all the religion from all the sins. I don't care for that. When he says, you, I promise you, you will get me. Manmurabhu, mamad bhakta, mamad jamiyam, namaskur, mamavishri, sattam te pratijan krishna. Is that okay?
Yes. That's okay.
It's beautiful. So that's why you have the start. I requested Dr. Rao to record. I don't know whether he did or not.
Yes.
But I would like to listen all the time.
Should I? I was going to ask you. Should I show that video tonight about Ukraine or not?
Okay.
It's 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's an actor. Special actor. Big festival we had in Ukraine.
Well, it's a documentary about the Ukrainian yacht.
Mother, you had a question. You had a question. There is a question from there.
Why conditions or even hearing these things, understanding, cannot or don't want surrender?
Papa says it's a causeless unwillingness to surrender.
Disease of the heart. Disease of the heart.
So what was the question? I didn't know this.
Why, after even after hearing all this, one still will not doesn't want to surrender?
Oh,
Jesus.
What do you say?
Prabhupada said it's a causeless unwillingness to surrender.
Unwillingness.
Of course, there are many other explanations given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he talks about sukriti. One has to actually have the required sukriti in order to be able to, but that sukriti is attained by coming in contact with a devotee of the Lord,
yes,
who by his forceful preaching awakens within us that desire to surrender. That is real sukriti. And Jiva Goswami defines sukriti means any activities in connection with transcendental personalities which gives rise to an intense desire to serve Krishna. That is sukriti. So a type of sukriti can actually bring us into the association of a devotee. Right? Somehow we come in the association of a devotee who can give us that desire. There's different types of sukriti. There's bhoganmukhi sukriti, mokshanmukhi sukriti, and bhaktinmukhi sukriti. Some pious activities which will bring us bhoga, sense enjoyment. Some bring us moksha, liberation. But bhakti and mukhi sukriti is considered to be the most auspicious sukriti, because by bhakti and mukhi sukriti we get the association of a Vaishnava who awakens within us the desire to serve Krishna. And if the desire is awakened, then once it's awakened, then we always have to keep ourselves in the association of those devotees who are fanning and inspiring us to increase that shraddha, that faith, more and more. And if we don't have it, if we pray for it, Krishna will certainly hear our prayers.
Nice.
And if we're reminded about it, then we know somehow something. If we're reminded, then we take advantage of simply being reminded about it, and then we pray in our sadhana, in our chanting. Everything will all automatically come, because it's all an arrangement, divine arrangement done by the Lord in the heart, and arranges everything within the heart and gives the devotee the sangha that he is aspiring for by his prayer. But at least one has to know that that's what's required. That's the most important part, is at least to know that is what is required. That is real sukriti.
I want to one sentence from CRE. Do you have the name of CRE?
I've heard, but I'm not familiar with
Yariva.
I don't know too much about it, but one sentence. situation. Deepest very faith in the grace, it is the only safety in life. Mm-hmm. Without Krishna's grace, we cannot surrender.
Yes, yes.
That is valuable.
Yes.
We can accept.
The real value is faith.
So I can show this. It will take about less than 5 minutes just to set it up and show it. And then it takes about 30 minutes.
I have a little screen I can spread it here.
Screen or a wall, whatever. I have a projector.
White. Before you start, I can introduce to you these two. They are my students from Concordia. They're going back to China.
Back to China.
Staying there soon. And they have been coming to our program two or three times already. And I think some of them have read that Chinese Bhagavad Gita. I thought I'll bring them.
From mainland China?
Mainland.
I'm going to Taiwan in a few weeks. But
not his name is Nong Tian and he's K. Wei Zheng.
You're going back to stay in China or just temporarily?
Maybe temporarily, yes.
Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Uh-huh.
If you want to say.
Uh-huh. Well, there are devotees in China.
You like this Krishna culture?
Yeah.
Very universal. Everywhere.
Okay, let me go get this.
So shall we put the skin here,
Maharaj? Yeah.
This is better on white.
This is
the
little cream.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, he's coming. You want this bag?
I need this big one because my No. This small. I need more big ones.
Can we have those little song sheets back?
Thank you. Excuse me?
I can switch up the lights and we can just alternate the connection. Is that okay? Because this maybe...
You can switch off the light. I don't need a light.
No, but this light is connected to the whole system. So I'm changing the power plug from somewhere else. So that I can switch up the light.
You want to unplug this?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, oh.
You can't turn off this light?
No.
No. You watch the we can watch like this.
Also watch like
this. Is it okay?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a problem here. Let's see.
I'm gonna listen.
What's going on?
Oh, you mean this? And that
no, I know what I have
to do. Functioning.
So what do you have to do now?
People are happy.
You can see.
Yeah.